Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 188. No eye hath seen, nor tongue declared, nor hath it entered heart of man, to know what God hath here prepared for them that love and trust his plan. Hymn number 188. The scriptural will be given by Imogene from Australia.
The Bible, Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 118. Holy Spirit, light divine, shine upon this heart of mine. Kindle every high desire. Cleanse my thought in thy pure fire. Hymn number 118.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, other subjects that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better in our lives Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you can also find it on our YouTube channel and or Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m., and that Sunday school is available to children just about anywhere in the world. It has its own dedicated teleconference number, and many of our students don't live in the area, so they attend via telephone. This means that if you don't live in the area yourself, but have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend our Sunday school. Just call us, we'll give you the number, and our teachers would be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, and there you can hear testimonies of healings, testimonies of great demonstrations through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services and meetings, we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. So if you do show up, you could actually bring the whole family. And we would love to see them. We're going to have a busy time this week. We will have a meeting of the membership this coming Thursday, September 26, at 8 p.m. And if you are a member and don't live close enough to attend in person, that's okay, because you can attend via the regular church teleconference number. That will be this Thursday, September 26, at 8 p.m. East Coast time. And then 2 days later, on Saturday, September 28, we're going to have another Bible study session, and that will take place at 10 o'clock in the morning. The study questions are on the website, so check them out, and please join us. It will promise us to be a rousing session. And our outreach is quite extensive. We have 17 different websites in 17 different languages. As a result, the pure word of Christian Science, God's word, is reaching millions of people around the world, in many cases in their own language. And we are very grateful that many people have found Christian Science, have found our church through one of those websites. And everything that's provided on our websites is available free of charge. Doesn't cost anything to read, download, listen, and you don't have to join the church to do so. So we are very grateful for those of you who contribute financially to our church. It helps us to keep things alive for the rest of the world. And we are very grateful for all of it. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from our textbook, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Tom from Iowa.
Page 631, after 20 years suffering. From early girlhood, I was considered an invalid, having been injured by a hard fall while playing. The pain was intense for some time, and for several hours I was unable to walk or stand alone. Later, a growing weakness of the back, accompanied with sharp pains, alarmed my parents, who called a physician, and he pronounced it spinal trouble. Then followed nearly 20 years of increased suffering, at times very severe. As years went by and I became a wife and mother, my suffering increased. Everything that medical skill could do was done, but finding no lasting benefit from anything, I lost hope of recovery. When Christian Science found me, I was under the doctor's sentence that if I lived the week through, I would become entirely helpless, not able to move hand or foot. My husband was a traveling man, and being urgently called home, he met an old friend on the train who asked why we did not try Christian Science. The reply, "We know nothing of it," was followed by a brief explanation of its healing power and the benefit his family had received. This inspired my husband with new hope, and on his arrival at home, he called on a practitioner who recommended our getting Science and Health, which we did, but ignorance and the prejudice of old education produced such fear that I hid the book under the covers of the bed whenever the children came into the room, fearing that it was not of God and would injure them. God's dear love was, however, more potent than these foolish fears, and the first day I read from its sacred pages, I was convinced its teachings were the same truths as Jesus Christ had taught centuries ago. When I had read a few pages, I reached out and threw my medicine from the open window at the head of my bed. I then turned back to the book and began reading again, when, lo, the Christ idea dawned upon me, and I was healed instantaneously. I first noticed the spot in my back cooling, and soon I got out of bed. I continued to read eagerly. I felt as if I wanted to devour the healing truth, and drank it in as a thirsty plant does the gentle rain. When dinner was prepared, I walked out and ate a hearty meal with the family, to the amazement of all. We shall never forget what a joyful meal this was, how we did thank God for Christian Science. As year after year has gone by, till 20 years have passed, and the healing has remained perfect, I have grown to thank God with deeper sincerity that one brave woman was found pure enough to bring forth this Christ healing again, to remain forever among men, and to save suffering humanity from all disease and sin. Mrs. P.L.H., Fairmont, Minnesota.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 24 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject, matter. The golden text is from Psalms. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. The responsive reading is from Psalms. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident.
One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path.
I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Bruce will now read.
I will read from the Bible, Isaiah. I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Psalms. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. 2 Chronicles. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities, and thought to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city. And they did help him. And he set captains of war over the people, and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spake comfortably to them, saying, Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Thus saith Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do ye trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? And his servants spake yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah. Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall, to affright them and to trouble them, that they might take the city. And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, prayed and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel, which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Isaiah. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Mark, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Florence will now read.
I will now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Denial of the claims of matter is a great step towards the joys of spirit, towards human freedom, and the final triumph over the body. It is only by acknowledging the supremacy of spirit, which annuls the claims of matter, that mortals can lay off mortality and find the indissoluble spiritual link which establishes man forever in the divine likeness, inseparable from his Creator. When we endow matter with vague spiritual power, that is, when we do so in our theories, for of course, we cannot really endow matter with what it does not and cannot possess, we disown the Almighty, for such theories lead to one of two things. They either presuppose the self-evolution and self-government of matter, or else they assume that matter is the product of spirit. To seize the first horn of this dilemma and consider matter as a power in and of itself is to leave the Creator out of his own universe, while to grasp the other horn of the dilemma and regard God as the Creator of matter is not only to make him responsible for all disasters, physical and moral, but to announce him as their source, thereby making him guilty of maintaining perpetual misrule in the form and under the name of natural law. Matter can make no conditions for man. Health is not a condition of matter, but of mind. Nor can the material senses bear reliable testimony on the subject of health. The science of mind healing shows it to be impossible for aught but mind to testify truly or to exhibit the real status of man. Therefore, the divine principle of science, reversing the testimony of the physical senses, reveals man as harmoniously existent in truth, which is the only basis of health, and thus science denies all disease, heals the sick, overthrows false evidence, and refutes materialistic logic. Doctors should not implant disease in the thought of their patients, as they so frequently do, by declaring disease to be a fixed fact, even before they go to work to eradicate the disease through the material faith which they inspire. Instead of furnishing thought with fear, they should try to correct this turbulent element of mortal mind by the influence of divine love, which casted out fear. To reduce inflammation, dissolve a tumor, or cure organic disease, I have found divine truth more potent than all lower remedies. And why not? Since mind, God, is the source and condition of all existence. Let us suppose two parallel cases of bone disease, both similarly produced and attended by the same symptoms. A surgeon is employed in one case and a Christian scientist in the other. The surgeon, holding that matter forms its own conditions and renders them fatal at a certain point, entertains fear and doubt as to the ultimate outcome of the injury. Not holding the reins of government in his own hands, he believes that something stronger than mind, namely matter, governs the case. His treatment is therefore tentative. This mental state invites defeat. The belief that he has met his master in matter and may not be able to mend the bone increases his fear. Yet, this belief should not be communicated to the patient, either verbally or otherwise, for this fear greatly diminishes the tendency towards a favorable result. Remember that the unexpressed belief oftentimes affects a sensitive patient more strongly than the expressed thought. The Christian scientist, understanding scientifically that all is mind, commences with mental causation, the truth of being, to destroy the error. This corrective is an alterative, reaching to every part of the human system. According to scripture, it searches the joints and marrow, and it restores the harmony of man. The matter physician deals with matter as both his foe and his remedy. He regards the ailment as weakened or strengthened according to the evidence which matter presents. The metaphysician, making mind his basis of operation, irrespective of matter, and regarding the truth and harmony of being as superior to error and discord, has rendered himself strong instead of weak to cope with the case. And he proportionately strengthens his patient with the stimulus of courage and conscious power. Both science and consciousness are now at work in the economy of being according to the law of mind, which ultimately asserts its absolute supremacy. consciousness construct a better body when faith in matter has been conquered. Correct material belief by spiritual understanding and spirit will form you anew. You will never fear again except to offend God, and you will never believe that heart or any portion of the body can destroy you. When the body is supposed to say, "I am sick," never plead guilty. Mentally contradict every complaint from the body and rise to the true consciousness of life as love, as all that is pure and bearing the fruit of spirit. Fear is the fountain of sickness, and you master fear and sin through divine mind. Hence it is through divine mind that you overcome disease. Only while fear or sin remains can it bring forth death. To cure a bodily ailment, every broken moral law should be taken into account and the error be rebuked. Fear, which is an element of all disease, must be cast out to readjust the balance for God. Casting out evil and fear enables truth to outweigh error. The only course is to take antagonistic grounds against all that is opposed to the health, holiness, and harmony of man, God's image. It is well to be calm in sickness. To be hopeful is still better. But to understand that sickness is not real and that truth can destroy its seeming reality is best of all. For this understanding is the universal and perfect remedy. The more material the belief, the more obvious its error, until divine spirit, supreme in its domain, dominates all matter, and man is found in the likeness of spirit, his original being.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 32. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Brood o'er us with thy sheltering wing, 'neath which our spirits blend like brother birds that soar and sing and on the same branch bend. The arrow that doth wound the dove darts not from those who watch and love. Hymn number 32.
Unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears have gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. from my mother's womb, you have chosen me.
Let's now sing hymn number 12. Arise, ye people, take your stand, cast out your idols from the land. Above all doctrine, form, or creed is found the truth that meets your need. Christ's promise stands. They that believe his works shall do, his power receive. Hymn number 12.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Amen.